This episode of Rob is a Podcast, talking about the Disney Channel original movie from 1999, Smart House, with Ian Terry, is sponsored by our friends over at Brooklinen. They've got a coupon code, $25 off with a minimum purchase of $100 when you go to brooklinen.com and use promo code Rob. Of course, how's your comforter looking these days? A lot like you feel, maybe a little lumpy. Maybe a little deflated, no longer with the same fluff it used to. Are you talking about me? It's time for a refresh, maybe, with Brooklinen. Brooklinen creates beautiful, high-quality bedding and home essentials. They work directly with the manufacturers and give you a fair price, no middlemen, and no markup. Their comforters come in a lightweight, all-season, ultra-warm to suit every type of sleeper and lifestyle. There's even a weighted comforter for stress relief. They offer a variety of materials, including eco-friendly recycled down alternative, and Brooklinen's comforters pair perfectly with their sheets, pillows, and duvet covers. I swear by our Brooklinen sheets. We had to get more than one set because I didn't like that period when, okay, the Brooklinen sheets are off. Now, what's this? No, where's the Brooklinen? You need multiple sets. Once you sleep in Brooklinen sheets, you're not going to want to go back to anything else. I swear by them. They sleep super cool in the summer and keep you nice and toasty. I don't know how they do it, but it's amazing. There's a reason Brooklinen has over 75,000 five-star reviews and counting. Treat yourself to the ultimate comfort with Brooklinen's comforter collection. Go to brooklinen.com. Use promo code Rob to get $25 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's Brooklinen.com. Enter promo code Rob for $25 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code Rob, or as I like to say, no sleep till Brooklinen. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Sesternino back here. And boy, we have such a treat here today. I'm so excited to bring you this episode of the podcast because this is something that was manifested back in 2020 when this man, while in the Big Brother 22 house, talked about an idea for a podcast he wanted to do one day, and wishes do come true. That day is here. Please welcome two-time Big Brother superstar and winner of Big Brother 14. The great Ian Terry is here to talk about the movie Smart House.
Hey, Rob, thanks for having me. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. And we have not probably done a podcast since what? Maybe like Big Brother 18?
I want to say Celebrity Big Brother 1.
Oh,
okay. The last time we did one, I think. Because that was the last season I watched.
Okay. Don't ask me to put these things in order of what came first, Big Brother 18, Big Brother Celebrity 1. Maybe the Big Brother 18, Celebrity 1 came after Big Brother 18, but before Big Brother 19.
After 19, but before 20.
Okay. You're the expert. I'll leave it to you.
And I don't even watch.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's all a blur to me. Anyway, Ian Terry in the Big Brother house talked about how that he would like to do a movie podcast about a 1999 Disney Channel original movie, which is now available on Disney Plus. And Ian talked about it in a room with, I don't remember who else was there. Enzo certainly was there. Yes. Was like, what? I believe Cody might have been like, you're doing that. Wait, hold on. The podcast is longer than the movie? What?
Yes. Yes. I believe you're right. Cody was there. Danny was there, definitely.
And Tyler was there, I think.
And I think Tyler was there because it was in the photo room, which is where they slept. So I was sitting, I think, on the floor or on the side bed or certainly near there. It was an idea from there. I think it was first conceptualized in around 2013, though.
Yes.
I think when we first mentioned the idea, it's just... we've come a long way with streaming services, Disney Plus. So it just wasn't available then. Now it is available.
Okay. All right. So if you want to stop this and watch the movie, it's actually a quick watch. I think it's the shortest movie of all time. It's barely a movie. It's an hour and 22 minutes if you want to check it out on Disney Plus. It is available if you have the widely popular service. You can check that out. It's called Smart House from 1999, directed by LeVar Burton. Starring Katie Sagal. of Married with Children fame, Sons of Anarchy, Futurama, among others. If you want to stop down and join us here, we'll just catch up with Ian here for a minute. Ian, since Big Brother 22, how's everything been going?
You know, things have been going really well. You know, definitely very smoothly. Nice transition back in. Playing a lot of backgammon, which is great. Been interviewing for jobs, but I'm not really in any rush. So things have been going well.
Okay. Tell us about your history with Smart House. Why was that a film that has stuck with you over all these years?
You know, I think it might have been because, so my first experience with this movie was, I was at a pool party around 1999.
Yes.
I remember that and some other Disney Channel original movie were being discussed. And I said, well, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen this movie. But it, you know, Disney would tend to air things repeatedly right around the time they came out. So probably about 2 weeks later, I caught it, and I was like, "That was actually very good as far as the Disney Channel originals go." And I think that, you know, I watched obviously a lot of Disney Channel original movies probably from there and maybe the 3 years following, and I don't think any of them ever really touched Smart House in terms of overall satisfaction. I had a debate in college. Someone said a motocrossed or something like that was better. It's not a bad film. I mean, you know, given the standard, but you know, Luck of the Irish is also solid. But now Smart House is, I'm pretty sure, consensus number one for a lot of people.
So it's not just you. You would feel like that many people who are sort of like around your age, like give or take a couple of years, would be very familiar with Smart House.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was in the Target demo when it came out. And I think that it's probably one of the Disney Channel original movies that has the highest accolades. That being said, I probably haven't watched it in full since about 2005. I think I caught it, part of it, on maybe around 2013, 2012. But that being said, I think I liked it a lot more in 2005 for obvious reasons.
Okay, you feel like it didn't hold up as well.
It didn't age. It doesn't age well, and I'm sure we'll get into why that's the case.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't age well for any reason in particular. I mean, it's not like that. It was offensive, right?
No. Yeah. I don't mean it in that sense. I think that it's just because nowadays this house is not far from just standard living.
Yeah, well, I think that's why it's kind of interesting to talk about, like, what was 1999's version of a futuristic house versus like a house that you might live in 2021.
Yeah, it's markedly similar to like Siri, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, like a Google Home or an Alexa. Yeah, that's basically the idea of what's going on here in this house. So we'll talk you through it. Even if you didn't watch the movie, we'll tell you about everything that happened here in this film. But what was it particularly about this film that really connected with you and stayed with you for some 20 something years?
You know, I think it might have been right. You know, it's one of those things where when you're a kid, you might see something parodied or mentioned like as a reference to popular culture, and you see the parody or the reference to it first. So whenever there's a line in the movie where the dad says, isn't it kind of like Big Brother is watching you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The show Big Brother had not even premiered yet. So this predates, you know, obviously the reality show and is referring to 1984. But I always remember hearing that and being like, what is he talking about? And then as the show Big Brother came on and I became more familiar with, George Orwell, 1984, I always thought of it because I always watched Big Brother a lot. And I mean, the idea is, it's not that different, right? I mean, the house, you know, it's announcements coming around through the speakers, very similar. So, I mean, it's really stuck with me over the years.
Would you say it's fair to say that this film changed the trajectory of your life? Would your Big Brother journey or interest in Big Brother had happened the way it did had you not known about that one line in this film where the dad in Smart House talks about it's like Big Brother?
Let's not give it too much credit, Rob.
I think this could be sort of like Citizen Kane, effect, like right? Like Smart House. Like it all started with Smart House. Changed your whole life.
It very well may have.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about this film, which we get right into it. I was actually surprised to see directed by LeVar Burton. Are you a LeVar Burton fan?
I am. I mean, Reading Rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was surprised, too, because obviously when I was younger, I really had not exactly reading credits. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, I didn't know that he was responsible for this.
Yeah. LeVar Burton, which is also interesting. Now, are you a Star Trek person by any chance?
I'm not. I'm really not, surprisingly, right? I seem like I would be, but...
Yeah, so LeVar Burton is one of the principal characters in Star Trek The Next Generation. And I feel like that there are definitely some, similarities between the Smart House and living on board the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a little bit of a sci-fi kick to it. Also, little known thing about LeVar Burton, one hell of a $100,000 pyramid player.
I didn't
probably
know that.
One of the best, probably one of the best in terms of, him and Billy Crystal, for my money, are the goats as far as that's concerned.
Now, have they been appearing on Celebrity $100,000 Pyramid?
Oh, no, I'm talking back in the Dick Clark days.
Yes.
Know, the olden ones. Yeah, I don't know if they're on the more recent one. I haven't seen. But that's always been one of my favorite game shows. And I always remember you saw LeVar Burton on there. You were definitely in for a treat. He was gonna do pretty well most of the time.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Billy Crystal, I could see, like, I feel like that he's more of an improviser. I didn't know LeVar Burton had that in his background.
Yeah. I mean, these are the, I haven't been on pyramid forums or, I don't know if there's r/pyramid or anything like that, but, it is probably from what I have seen it. Those are the two consensus best.
Yes. You think that there may be a $100,000 pyramid subreddit?
There might be, for all I know. I have no idea.
Okay. Do you think this is a Smart House subreddit?
Pyramid sucks.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a Smart House subreddit, but there might be like a Disney Channel original movies one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Well, I feel like the 90s kids are very nostalgic. I feel like that there wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world.
I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, if we have subreddits devoted to... Wall Street degeneracy, then it doesn't seem
a lot of
unlikely.
Those.
Yeah, quite a lot. Wouldn't doubt it if every single movie ever made had one.
Okay. All right. So we have the idea of the Smart House, and we open up the film with our main character, whose name is Ben. I didn't find Ben to be a particularly likable protagonist, Ian.
Yeah, I mean, he especially at the beginning of the movie, he definitely came off kind of like a little bit of a prick. And I mean, almost the way, and we'll get into this, it seemed early on to me like he had a little HOH-itis.
So he has a paper route, and he does that. And he, like, we see him like throw the paper into a house that like eats the newspaper.
That's a robotic arm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, what's with this house? Is this house like haunted or something? And then we'll come back around. And so we end up meeting the woman who is the architect of the Smart House. Her name is Sarah. And we see her working in said Smart House. I was confused, Ian, because I thought that we are meeting a romantic interest of Sarah here at the beginning of the film.
The gentleman with the glasses?
Yeah.
I think that seemed to be her coworker. I think that she's definitely way out of that guy's league, though.
That's what I was thinking of.
I don't think anyone would question that.
Yeah. So Sarah has built this house, and... is this like a spec house? What is the Smart House that is ultimately going to be the prize in a contest?
Yeah, I mean, the Smart House is a house like no other,
mm-hmm.
Where there's a lot of technologically advanced things going on here. So it can prepare meals for you. The walls change. They're almost like TV screens to be whatever you want them to be. Rooms, entire rooms transform. really, really interesting. It very modern house, and you can just say, hey, I want a smoothie, and it'll make you a smoothie.
A lot of smoothies in this house. A lot of smoothies in the movie. People loved, this might have been the height of smoothie mania.
Yeah, I think this is right around the time where smoothie mania was kind of at the top of the market there, and we were switching into the blizzard blast that followed it. Yeah.
I remember like after the original Survivor in 2000, where that I remember like Sue Hawk was being interviewed, and they asked her like what are you doing now after Survivor? She's like, oh yeah, I quit trucking and I just opened a smoothie shop. So smoothies, yeah, this is a turn of the millennium, I think, might have been the height of smoothie mania.
I don't think smoothies have been quite as hot since about late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, who remembers Orange Julius, right? I mean, that was just, every mall had one. There was a mall in my town where it was literally like one of two stores. It was that and Burlington. There was nothing else in the mall, but there was an Orange Julius. How they stayed in business, I don't know.
Are there any that still exist? Are they completely bankrupt?
I have no idea. I'd have to look that one up. Let's take a look. Orange Julius. Let's see.
I think that COVID-19 might have been the last straw. No pun intended, last straw.
So they're related to Dairy Queen, apparently. Mm-hmm. And they do still exist, apparently.
Oh, okay. Good.
5,700 stores as of 2008.
Yeah, maybe. So you have to get them on DoorDash now.
Yeah. Maybe merged with Dairy Queen. Who knows?
Okay. All right. So we check back in with Ben, who's working on, like, the kid is what, is he 12 or 13? But he's got
great.
Yeah, he's making the dinner for the family, and he's also multitasking. He's like entering a contest every 5 seconds to try to win the smart house.
Yeah, so we see him making tuna noodles. So it appears to be some sort of tuna casserole of some sort for his family. His younger sister comes in wearing rollerblades, and he's like, hey, don't rollerblade in the house or whatever.
Yeah.
Dad comes in through the back door of the house, which I thought was kind of interesting. No idea why he would come in there. Mm-hmm. And you see him entering this contest that we kind of have an idea of what it is. But a couple things that were sort of interesting as far as what I noticed gave us a little bit of a hint about where this movie takes place.
Are you a tuna casserole guy?
Not at all. I'm actually quite anti-tuna.
Ooh. Why?
Yeah, not for big tuna. I like it.
Don't taste. Like. Okay.
Just not really.
Wasn't sure if you thought maybe they... Too many dolphins also.
Yeah, maybe. I like it if it's like a, you know, just like a sushi, very mild.
Yeah.
That's fine. But I don't like the pungent mixed with mayo. Like, nah. Not really.
I like tuna. I don't know if I'd want it like hot tuna on a casserole. It's just, I feel like it's gross to even talk about. And I feel like it's very weird that like a 12-year-old, this is what he's cooking for dinner.
Yeah, you'd think the simpler dishes, like perhaps macaroni and cheese or maybe a soup would be better.
Okay. So we'll find out later that Ben is really the caretaker for this family because mom is gone, you know. Yeah. A lot of children's films or young people's films tend to like often like have as a throw in part of the plot, like one of the parents has died unexplained.
Yeah. So we know that he's got a single dad and he's taking care of the family. So this is common in a lot of the Disney Channel movies at the time.
So they're talking about how dad is he's going to be working on a big project and he's got this big account. The little girl says something that I felt like is really trying to force it. She's like, oh, great, dad. Now you can start dating and we can get a new mom.
Yeah, that came off as weird to me as it did to you, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it sounded like she was talking about, like, I mean, even for if you said that about like a dog, I think that's a bit insensitive. So to say it about, you know, a living human is a whole other story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't imagine that, like where, you know, we get that the older son or Ben, he does not want dad to date or like, okay, that seems like that makes a little more sense. But, you know, the daughter is like, dad, okay, like, what's going on here? We need a mom at this house.
We need mom. We need some other sort of authority figure.
Yeah, what are you doing, dad? You're like, stop working so much. Get back out there and go get us a mom.
Now, I have to ask, I mean, one of the things that just immediately jumped out to me, does this dad give you big time Andrew Savage vibes?
Yeah, who just recently did a quarantine interview with Dalton Ross.
Yeah, I've been reading those. They're very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could see that. I could see him being kind of like a Andrew Savage-esque, like a young Andrew Savage.
Definitely. I like the tie, the dress shirt. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. What is the dad's business? Were you able to just take that away?
Yeah, I sort of ascertained that he's in the sporting goods supply chain. Like, it seems to be like an account executive or something for like a sporting goods shop or something like that.
He's taking a phone call about baseball bats at one point.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely some kind of salesman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He also, that, like, has the mom recently died? Because the dad does not seem to know how to comb the daughter's hair.
I have no idea. I mean, it seems pretty reasonable. I mean, yeah. The only time we see anything of the mom is later in like a home video. Right?
Yes. So. The movie makes it sound like mom has been gone for a while, but it does not seem like anybody has really, like, dad has not picked up any of the slack here since mom's been gone.
Definitely all on Ben.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Meanwhile, Ben is up late into the night stuffing the ballot box. Now, was he breaking the rules, Ian, or were you allowed to vote as many times as you want?
So I did listen to this. I had to go back because I wanted the particulars on this contest. And it very clearly had a couple stipulations. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Sarah said is multiple entries are allowed.
Vote early and often.
Yeah. So early and often. Multiple entries are allowed. And one of the other things I noticed is it said open to Monroe County residents only.
So it was a small segment of the population.
Pretty small segment of the population. I was unsure. I figured this is like a clue as to the movie's location. It looked to me like it was in a pretty warm setting, right?
Yeah.
So I looked it up. Apparently there are 17 or 18 states, I didn't take note of that, where there's a Monroe County. But Wikipedia says that it is Monroe County, New York, is the setting
New
of this
York.
Film, which is near Rochester. I didn't catch where it said it was New York.
And it's during the school year.
And it is definitely during the school year. So, but it's like a warm time. I mean, the kids are wearing shorts. There's a reference to shorts at one point. So, I mean, it definitely, I was getting mixed vibes. Yeah. It looked to me like a California type thing. Ben is entering this contest quite a lot.
Yes. Does the smart house shovel for you? That was not touched on in the film.
I would have to imagine that, or like a heated driveway so that it could just melt the snow away. That seems really likely. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it sinks into the ground, like kind of like the cleaning mechanism later on.
Yes. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So, all right. We see that Sarah is working on like the final details. She has a mouse that is like her pet rat named Butler that works with her.
Yeah.
At one point, the mouse will enter the smart house. I did not follow what was going on with the mouse or the rat.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand what the hell this was either. I noticed that the smart house had a very convenient mouse hole for some reason when we do get to that scene. They seemingly had only been living there for a couple of weeks. So how like a burrow of, mice just decided to move into this house.
Vermin.
Yeah, really unfortunate. Got to get an exterminator out there. You would think smart house would take care of that on its own.
Yeah, that would be not. Like if you had a smart house, that would be one of the things that would be like whoop, whoop, rats detected.
Smoothie making, cleaning the floor, and pest control. I think one is a little bit more important. I mean, you got the smoothie feature, but, if the pests want to move in, that's totally okay.
Okay, so dad is coming in to ask Ben, hey, are you still online? Because I need to use the phone. What a throwback this was, Ian.
Yeah, I mean, the dial-up, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that for sure. There also seemed to be reference to someone that he was expecting a
Melanie.
Call from. It was a prospective romantic partner that he... You know, clearly you saw Ben you know, went with the C block here.
Yeah. Oh, he's a real blocker, this kid, because he's like, oh yeah, she didn't sound like your type, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely a pretty rough move. You would think that, I mean, obviously Ben's got his own personal things with not wanting a new mom, but I mean, you got to feel for the guy.
Yeah.
He said he hasn't been out in so long, he wouldn't even know what his type is. So
Nowadays, dad would be on his phone swiping, you know, right. You know, Ben would have no idea.
Yeah. Yep. He would be on Tinder or Bumble or something like that. Perhaps, you know, like a Hinge, maybe.
Singledad.com. Something like that. Yeah. And
maybe
so the contest has ended. Okay. And so yes. Smart House is going to pick out the winner, and we are going to hear Pat, who is the name of the Smart House personal applied technology. Voice of the house, is going to pick out the winner and is going to start calling. But apparently Ben fell asleep connected to the modem. Is that the problem?
That is exactly what happens. Now, I did want to also go into this here. Ben, he apparently entered this contest. A quarter of the entries were his, is what he says. So there were about 8,000 entries. That means that 2,000 of these entries were his.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wanted to go ahead and just think about this mathematically. So yes. I looked it up. Rochester, New York, a house like that, Zillow says it would probably go for around, I would guess, 400,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an estimate, you know, Zestimate, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's given himself about $100,000 in equity here, you know, if we're going with like Dom Collins.
Yeah.
So
now I will say that. So you do have to factor in it is 1999 and the real estate values of Rochester, New York have gone up substantially.
That is very true. But I also think that it's pretty fair because if you take into account like technological innovation, That's going to add a lot of value to this.
True.
Home.
True.
For sure.
What was the plan here for Ben? I mean, did he think this all through of that? Okay, well, the house is so smart, it will be able to take care of all these household chores and I'll be able to go live my life and we won't need to have a replacement mom.
You know, you would think that, but later in the movie, it doesn't seem like there was any sort of follow through there.
Mm-hmm. Just seems like a cool house.
Yeah, I mean, it, very, very bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't seem like he made any sort of major changes as far as his lifestyle goes, other than just having this cool house. Now, you would think that they would just sell their old house, and then, I mean, this would be a huge windfall.
Windfall. They don't sell the old house. They just move into this house. I think they made it like, well, we have a fallback.
They're like, we can just move into the old house if you don't want it. It's like, yeah, you can just, you know, here's a free house.
Yes.
And
yeah.
They just are pretty much like, yeah.
What were they going to Airbnb the old place?
I mean, that would be a good idea if that existed.
If
in
that invented, maybe they would have invented earlier on. Maybe, do you think that there was not a lot of interest from other people in being in the contest because a lot of people were probably afraid of Y2K happening and the whole house would be worthless?
I mean, that makes sense. Apparently, there were 6,000 other entries, though. So, You know, Rochester, it's not exactly a big city. I mean, it's certainly decent size.
Yeah. No, I have a lot of friends there. I went to school upstate New York.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of people went to Oswego State University and were from the Rochester area. But none of them mentioned the Smart House in 1999.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think just survivors. No one really comes to mind. I guess Eliza went to Syracuse, right?
She went to Syracuse, yeah. But
so she may have seen the Smart House.
Mm-hmm, yeah, maybe Pat Cusack might be the survivor player closest to that area.
That is a possibility.
Yeah. Anyway, so, okay, they can't even get a hold of the family because the next morning, they all oversleep and like, oh, we gotta get out the door. And the phone is ringing like, oh, just let the machine get it. And the machine, I must have been calling to say. But somehow they get an article in the newspaper, Ian.
Yes. Apparently, he is the only person that has no idea that he won the Smart House. And his classmates all congratulate him on winning this.
Yeah. He goes into the classroom and then everybody is clapping. But not before he runs into a bully. The bully is named Ryan. And he wants to know, hey, where is my science report? Ian, did you ever, even anecdotally, hear about this happening in real life to anybody where the school bully was getting their assignments done by somebody else?
Yes, and it was me.
Yes, you had to. You actually had to do somebody else's assignments?
I mean, it wasn't so much like I would do them from scratch, right? But I remember, like, there were times where it was like, hey, give me the answers or I'm going to, you know, beat the shit out of you. You know, like, you know, give me, you know.
Give, like, give me the answer to a test or, like.
Test, but, like, the, you know, like, you copy the homework in, like, sixth grade. I actually got in trouble for doing it, which was kind of funny. I remember like social studies or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember we had to go to the principal's office for cheating, academic dishonesty. And they called home. And when I, you know, went back home, my mom and dad were like shaking their head. And they said, you know, only you would get in trouble for cheating because you're giving someone else the answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not really fair to the kids where, you know, if I found out that my son was like, there was a bully that was like, hey, like, give me the answers to the test or I'll beat you up. Like, I don't have to, like, that's not right that the school, they can't protect my kid. And then my kid's getting in trouble because a bully has them under duress.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I noticed he slammed another kid literally into a locker. Yeah. And I know this was like, you know, a common trope, but has anybody ever, I mean, do people fit in lockers? I mean, that seems to me, I've tried, like, I don't think I could get in one if I was, like, literally trying to get in one. And I have a pretty slight frame, so
I've never seen a locker big enough to fit a person into.
No, definitely not.
Do you think that this was happening so much, like, in the 50s and 60s that they had to just make the lockers a lot thinner?
Yeah, I think that's probably what happened. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, like, it's pretty common where I was, when I was in school, that it would be like a half. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't the full body length. Like, you know, yeah, I don't think I could fit in a, I there's no chance I could have ever fit in any locker. It's just without a doubt.
Okay. So, all right. We have a press conference and they are announcing, okay, here's the Cooper family. They are the winners of the Smart House. And she is going to learn on the job. She can do anything except for miming, Ian. Thank goodness.
Yeah, no miming. Now, actually, I do want to bring up one thing about the bully before we move on.
Yeah.
Did you notice, I mean, is it just like all school bullies in the late 1990s just have like some sort of consortium where they all agreed on their hairstyle? It had to be spiky, it had to be very gelled, and then their sense of dress as well. It seems like they always wear baggy clothes, lots of black, lots of red, and spiky hair.
Yeah, maybe you want to signal to other people, hey, I'm the bully. Like, we already have a bully at this school.
And exactly, it's me. Yeah, I noticed like spike collars, you know, that was a common trope as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I just thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, but that is like the default bully attire, so it doesn't seem too out of place here.
I mean, no, definitely not, especially for the 90s.
Okay. So the family gets to move in, and the first thing they're going to do is like, all right, little girl, stick your hand into the sensor reading so that we can get a scan of you. But it's not just going to be a hand scan. It's also going to... take a small blood sample that you are not prepared for.
Yeah, they referred to it as a bite.
Yeah, just a little.
Apparently just from the blood sample, it was able to pull her entire medical history.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. No, is that a HIPAA violation?
Probably so. Probably mm-hmm. so. I mean, she certainly wasn't made aware of the fact that was going to happen. So
yeah. So I feel like that they should have at least told her it was coming.
Yeah, definitely some kind of fair warning would have been especially for that girl's probably what, like fifth grade, if I had to estimate, about 10.
Yeah, they call it, it was a microscopic blood and tissue sample that they did.
So, disgusting.
Yes, okay. And then, so the dad is like, wow, that's really amazing. And here is that moment in the film where that really changed Ian's life.
Impressive. The thing about Pat is the more time she spends with you, the more she learns. So before long, she's going to know more about you than you know yourself.
Well, that's kind of creepy, isn't it? I mean, it's like Big Brother is watching you, only Big Brother turns out to be your house.
Well, she's not interested in judging you or spying on you, Mr. Cooper.
Nick,
she just wants to understand you better so she can make...
So there you have it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why we're here. That's why I think this is just a very appropriate movie to go for.
Yeah. I didn't know the dad's name was Nick.
I didn't catch it either. I always referred to him as Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Cooper. Whatever.
Like, I know, I'd always make references to popular culture when I would teach. And I remember I had something like a problem where it referred to a Mr. Cooper from the movie Smart House. And like the first year that I did it, like 2014, everyone knew what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. The last year I was there, nobody had ever heard of or even, or seen this movie.
Okay. But now it's coming back.
But now it's coming back.
This now it's coming big. Back. Okay. So you mentioned in the Smart House, there are walls that are screens this is like almost like if you are familiar with Star Trek, it's like the holodeck. I watched a documentary the other day about how they make the Mandalorian. Like this is like where they shoot the Mandalorian. Basically, they just have like a 360 degree screen where they can just like put whatever background up that they want to be able to show anything. But it also like can make you like have the effect of being in these places. Like if you go and you are in an ocean room, you're getting misted with like water droplets, which you could skip that.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know where I got this from, but I had for sure, read somewhere at some point that the inspiration for these walls that were actually TV screens was from Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I definitely read that
yes.
a couple of years ago.
Yes, that does sound very familiar.
Yeah.
They
I just
like,
thought that was interesting.
Yeah, multiple screens at the house. And so you can put different things on. What would you have on your screen, Ian?
Ooh, that's pretty interesting. I think for me, I would probably want some sort of probably a good backgammon game. Whoever's playing, I definitely like to watch and comment in a little bit of punditry
mm-hmm.
as far as backgammon goes.
Yeah,
the game has my heart. So
yeah, there's also a lot of wind generators in the house.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely noticed this as well. Just things like seems like almost like trap doors. Like we see a scene where tennis balls fall out mm-hmm. of the ceiling. Onto dad.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of very weird out of place things here.
So they go into the kitchen. Pat can also like analyze your complete bio system. I do not have the right terminology.
Yes.
To be able to tell you like what nutrients you are lacking.
Right. And actually, I noticed that the terminology that they used was that the kitchen has instant breathalyzers.
Yes.
So that probably would not have been a good place for me to live when I was in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They would be able to tell you exactly what was going on. And also, you can order things and they just show up. And the daughter, she orders a strawberry shake, or a strawberry smoothie. Right, which pops up like instantly from beneath the countertop.
Yeah, and one has to really wonder how this is being made. I mean, it's almost like are there gnomes in the counter, perhaps? Or I mean, where are these ingredients coming from?
So this is a really good question that I had as well. And there's going to be a scene later on in the film where they order a banana orange smoothie, and oranges like 5,000 oranges just explode from. So. Is there like a one, like is somebody coming in with like a grocery delivery and restocking Pat to be able to produce anything? Because you got to use those oranges quick. Oranges are going to have like an infinite shelf life. Is Pat ordering things, or is it like in Star Trek? Is there some sort of like a replicator, which is almost like a 3D printer of food?
Yeah, that I was about to say 3D printer. That seems pretty reasonable for sure. I mean, predates the main technology, but again, a lot of this stuff in this house does. So who knows? Maybe rather than, you know, spending her time making these smart houses, she should have gotten a patent on that. She'd probably been a lot mm-hmm. better off.
Yeah. Why aren't they solving world hunger if that's the case?
Selfishness.
Yeah. Like, no, give it all away to this family. These three people, they're going to get it all. Like, you could be sending like, Pat, I need 1,000 loaves of bread. We're going to feed the hungry of Rochester.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So we have a major disaster with the strawberry smoothie, Ian. It gets knocked over. And they said, no. Just watch this. The floor absorbs the strawberry shake. That was gross.
Disgusting. I mean, I can only imagine how that would smell after like maybe 2 days, 3 days, especially because, you know, by all indications we have, it's a warm weather time mm-hmm. in Rochester. I mean, that's going to just smell like dairy after a while.
So you don't think that it gets flushed into like the sewage, like taken out of the house?
I mean, that's a very good possibility, but simultaneously, I don't really know. I mean, then wouldn't the entire house just smell like sewage?
Well, I feel like it's like flushing the toilet. I feel like that it goes into the plumbing, no?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, it's under the entire floor, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not like it's a little pipe.
So you don't think it could have been then siphoned into like another like waste system?
I mean, maybe, but that seems like a bit of a stretch.
Well, I guess so. Everything else is very plausible here in the smart house. All right. So we see like then the family is going to move in. They love it. And we get like a whole like montage of everybody enjoying living in the house.
Yeah. I mean, the kids are getting up for school early. You know, they're getting woken up by basketball games, concerts. Dad had a rooster.
Yeah. And this is a little bit like the Big Brother house where you have unique wake up calls.
Yeah. The music in the morning. You know, I know the Canadian one likes to make like other noises. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't get out of bed, like chainsaws and stuff like that. Very, very neat.
What would you have as your ideal wake up call, Ian?
What would it be? Well, you know, I always liked the Big Brother house. Good morning, house guests. It's time to get up for the day. Mm-hmm. That was nothing like Dawn Woolman's voice in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I know, actually, it's kind of funny. Right after my original season, I had a track that would play that and then play two songs that were randomly chosen from a list. And then my brain was permanently messed up probably for a while because I kept waking up in the same way as I did in the house.
Did you program that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you build a smart house?
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be that hard.
Wow. Would you give it away?
No, I'd keep it for myself. For sure.
But is your house that you are in right now very smart?
No, I'm not really. No.
Okay.
I could, but I'm a pretty simple man, Rob. I don't really, I'm not someone who really needs a ton of that going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we are also starting to get a hint. Dad has a thing for Sarah, the inventor of the smart house.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes total sense. I mean, she's definitely a very attractive woman.
Yeah.
For sure. Definitely.
How's Dad's flirt game? You think he was...
I think it's pretty good, honestly.
He was good. Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I mean, he's a little bit upfront. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty obvious, right? I mean, even the daughter picks up on this quickly.
Sarah seems to have a bad track record with men. She talks about like her former suitors included like what? Like a bank robber?
A burglar of sorts. Yeah, I forget exactly
what
it was.
She likes the bad boy.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. There's one was a definitely a burglar or bank robber, or some sort of bandit. I forget
criminals.
Exactly.
Write it down. Yeah.
Criminals. And it's even mentioned later in the movie too. I mean, she brings it up. She's like, well, I mean, you're not a bank robber. So, I mean, it's going pretty well.
Do you think that Sarah will get bored with Mr. Cooper?
Entirely possible. I mean, the sporting good supply chain management.
Marrying him to gonna be the new mom to his two kids.
Very boring.
She's used to like the fast paced life of smart house building.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not to mention, I mean, who knows how many of these, you know, I mean, was she involved in any of these bank robberies? Like, did she maybe have like some sort of clues. I mean, I think it would be hard to not realize that you were dating someone who's a bankrupt. Like, that's what I just took for.
Yeah. Who do you think financed the smart house?
You know, I mean,
she was an accessory.
Seems a little odd to me. Yeah. So that's the other thing I don't get. Why? Like, what is this? I mean, is this a promotion contest? I mean, are they making a bunch of smart houses?
Yeah.
I just never really understood. Is this to advertise? Because she said that her next project was a smart office.
Yeah, I think the whole smart house project was a scam where basically, like, they get you to live there, but then it also, like, they steal all your personal information and then sell it to different people. So you live there for free. It learns everything about you, but then also it's like Facebook.
Yeah, you are the product.
They have breakfast. It knows everything about them. The dad is like drinking coffee. I always pay attention to coffee stuff. The dad is like, oh, is this mocha walnut? You're like, yeah, yeah. Oh, my favorite. That's not a coffee. Mocha walnut.
I mean, definitely a little bit of an odd mix. But I mean, you know, and this predates Keurig, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, hell, this morning I had one that was Kahlua flavored.
But that's a flavor. That's a flavor of coffee.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there has to be. I mean, you're telling me that no one has ever had a mocha.
I'm going to Google mocha walnut coffee and see if Smart House is the first result underneath that. I see a mocha walnut pie.
Okay.
Yeah, nobody has mocha. I see a mocha walnut coffee bite, like if you're on keto.
Yeah, I see that. I see some brownies. Yeah. Yeah,
but nobody has ever made mocha walnut coffee.
Yeah, I think you're right on this. It's only got 29 hits if you put it in quotes. Very, very bizarre. You're right on that. I figured somebody would have.
No, walnut is not a coffee flavor.
Well, I mean, here I see black walnut coffee, Draven black walnut infused coffee is a thing.
I see walnut street coffee. Yeah, black. Yeah, I guess black walnut coffee is one result for that. But
yeah, and then everything else is literally walnut coffee table. So go figure.
Mocha walnut. All right, so then maybe not a coffee drinker was the writer of this film. So also, Pat just churning out pancakes. Again, I don't really even know, how Pat's doing it, but everybody's pumped up about breakfast.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been really good. The kids said that their lunches were great, too. Apparently, a fantastic macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotta love it.
So Pat is also doing the homework for the bully also.
Yeah, I noticed that. That was definitely something. I mean, that's good. It's a time saver, but I mean, definitely enabling.
Mm-hmm. What does Pat do? Print out the homework with like the handwriting?
Ooh, that actually makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I noticed earlier in the movie it was a science report. So that seemed to me like something that would probably be, typed up in like a Word document and then printed out. Maybe not necessarily a handwritten good. Notice though, this bully, for whatever reason, he has a lot of projects. It's not like it's like the one-off homework. You know, it's not like the one you take home and it's due the next day. No, no, no. It's the ones where you have a lot of time to do. I don't know what's going on here.
Do you think that maybe the bully is in some sort of like advanced program?
That was what I was thinking. For an eighth grader, I mean, definitely a lot of project-based learning here. Very ahead of its time in the late 90s.
We'll be right back with Ian to talk more about the smart house. But how do you turn your home into a smart house? No, not with adding a whole computer system, with something from our friends over at P-Touch. Imagine your home totally organized with the P-Touch Home Personal Label Maker. Practical and useful home organization templates and attractive durable labels make it fun and easy to turn every room into a personalized, clutter-free haven. Tell me more. Coordinate your kitchen with a variety of fonts and frames. Label the perfect pantry. Add decorative labels to the laundry room. Tidy up seasonal storage and use fun symbols and emoji to finally organize the kids' toys, books, and games. Even the tiniest family members will benefit from an organized space. And yes, the furriest family members will too. Make the most out of your time at home. Have fun and get organized with the P-Touch Home Personal Label Maker, only from Brother. For details, visit ptouchhomebybrother.com. And speaking of your home,
Got a word from Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And now, back to talking about Smart House. Let's talk about the impact on the social life of Ben here having a smart house, because all of a sudden, Ben, we'd say kind of a loser beforehand, more of a nobody than a loser.
Yeah, kind of just not really in the mix.
Yeah,
you know, he's definitely playing the under the radar, you know, hibernating strategy. Yeah. School.
Maybe yeah, the kid like, sure. Oh, that's the kid. Yeah, his mom died. I'm like, oh,
yeah, man. Yeah, exactly. Not. He seems to have a couple friends. I didn't catch their names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, and now all of a sudden there are women at the school paying attention to him. Young women.
Yeah. You know, I thought this was a little bit odd. I mean, you know, just because he got this house, I mean, you're in eighth grade. I mean, it's not like, you know, the whole sugar baby thing is not really quite in play yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I thought that was a little bit odd.
Yeah, but these young women, they want to come over and check out the smart house. And his friend is like, oh, my God, the goddess of eighth grade just talked to you.
Yeah, Gwen Petroni was apparently her name. That's mm-hmm. what I have here.
Yeah. So Gwen wants to check out the smart house.
Very interesting.
She has not acted since 2017, Gwen.
Wow. Wonder what happened there.
I don't know.
Who she played by?
Looks like she's an actress named Raquel. Raquel Boudin.
The IMDb mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, not a lot of the actors from Smart House, other than Katie Sagal, went on to really a lot of great heights.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw any of these actors or actresses again in anything other than Disney Channel original mm-hmm. movies.
Yeah. Ben, the main actor, that he went on to work. He has a career. He's working and stuff.
Yeah, I have his up now. I mean, we see. Let's see.
The daughter is out of acting. She hasn't acted since
2005.
Yeah.
Final Destination 3, Smallville, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had some stuff going on.
Decent career. Yeah. Decent career.
So same thing for Dad, for Nick Cooper. He worked. It's really all you could hope for.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say is this guy, I think he was, I'm not sure. I think he was also the lead or the best friend in the Luck of the Irish, which is the other Disney Channel original movie that I was referring to earlier. So, I mean, that's actually pretty good because those are considered two of the top tier ones from what mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah.
Definitely not the worst. I mean, Quince, horrible.
Quince, yeah. That's the worst?
I think that's definitely.
What's that about five babies?
How did you guess? Yeah. Quince and I think people probably would say Cadet Kelly was pretty bad. And that one starred Hilary Duff.
Oh, what's the plot of Cadet Kelly?
It's like some girl that ends up having to go to military school.
Yeah.
I remember right. Yeah, that was not very good. Wasn't exactly the target demo for that one, though.
Yeah.
And the Even Stevens movie, I thought, was a. You know, kind of went off the deep end towards the end. Pretty reasonable, little.
What's Even Stevens?
It was like a sitcom. Had Shia LaBeouf in it.
Yeah.
It was a sitcom about a brother and sister that were seventh and ninth grade. What was the lead actress's name? Something Romero. Christy. Mm-hmm. Christy Carlson Romero, I think. Not sure.
Yeah.
But she was in it, and that movie they win a vacation of sorts, and then it turns out that they're on a Survivor-esque reality show, right? Where it's actually a prank on them, like a reality show, where they are stranded on an island.
This is Even Stevens?
Yeah, the Even Stevens movie.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and it also served as the series finale for the sitcom.
Oh, okay. So Even Stevens was a TV show, and then it became a movie?
Yeah, so basically, I don't know if you... This is a thing. Disney Channel, around the... in the 90s and early 2000s, they had a rule that no show could produce more than 65 episodes.
Why? What happened?
No matter how
syndication? Yeah.
Yeah, no matter how successful it was, they would not make more than 65 episodes of any show. And the reason was that it would they could air one episode a day for 13 weeks. And by making new shows all the time, then it would just increase the likelihood that a random viewer would find something that they liked. So when Even Stevens hit 65 episodes, they wanted to give it a send-off because it was a pretty popular show. So they capped it off with the Even Stevens movie.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
They eventually found a loophole to this where they took the same characters from a show and then just made a spinoff that was literally the same thing, but with a different theme.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Dad is working from home. He's on a call that they've got the dog like chasing like a tennis ball around the house. If I was Dad, yeah, I'd be like, hey, Pat, could you take this to another room? I'm on the phone here. Stop making the golden retriever bark in this same room as me.
Yeah, he said that his productivity was way up, but I would think that would just be distracting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Pat seems to want Dad to continue to work from home.
I mean, apparently it was much more efficient for him because the CRM that he seemed to be using was better detailed and more organized than the one at his office. So apparently, whatever Smart House is doing, you know, it's producing a better ERP than SAP even is. Which I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, anytime that you could do that, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Sarah really should be doing that.
Well,
I mean,
she's working on SAP, Smart Office.
If you know SAP, you're pretty much gold. I mean, that's what I always learned. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Smart Office, I think, is an interesting concept because, you know, this is just going to really increase productivity, but it also gets rid of a lot of jobs.
Yeah. Could be bad for the economy.
Yeah, not great. Not great. Mm,
okay. So, yeah, once the Smart Office just takes over, that's when we got to get, you know, universal basic income figured out, because then let Pat do all of like the office work, and then everybody could just be sitting at home watching stuff on their wall screens.
Yang gang.
Okay. So, lunchtime. And how about a banana orange smoothie? Banana orange smoothie does not sound like a smoothie I would go to. Not one of my top 10 smoothies.
You know, it's definitely a weird mix. And I mean, I noticed the orange smoothie, they seem to be going for this one.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't lend themselves that well to smoothies from my experiences.
Oranges?
Yeah. Cause the, you know, that like, you know how they like peel apart. It's like a film almost.
Yeah.
You
know what I've done where sometimes I feel like, am I getting a cold? Let me go into, you know, and Jamba Juice, and let me get something with like five oranges in it.
Yeah. Ooh, Jamba Juice. That's pretty popular as far as the smoothies go. So maybe like reaching a new height in smoothies.
I guess so. All of a sudden, unexplained, the food system in the house has gone totally haywire, and they are just being pelted with, would you say, hundreds of oranges?
A lot of oranges. I mean, at least 50.
Mm-hmm.
At
least. Yeah. It's going all over the place.
Everywhere. Yep.
Yeah. And looks like that, you know, Ben is having some fun, but, you know, you have a machine throwing oranges at you, sort of like a, you know, tennis ball launching machine. This is, you know, not ideal. Surprised more stuff didn't break.
Definitely not good. I mean, we see a little bit of mess, but I mean, it definitely went about as better than you could have expected it to, given an orange pelting situation. Now, I noticed Dad here.
Yeah.
Cooper, he has the idea. He goes, oh, well, we'll just have to call up Sarah and get this fixed. And Ben kind of just takes offense to
Ben's like, no, Dad, it's just one thing. We just won't order smoothies anymore. Like, listen, kid, like, did you see what just happened here? Like, I know you don't like her. Get her over here. We got to have her look at this.
Yeah.
This whole Smart House is going to hell in a handbasket.
And then he says, no, it's not a big deal. We don't need smoothies.
That is true.
I mean, that's true. I mean, when was the last time you made a smoothie in your home?
So Now, I do make a lot of. I wouldn't really call it a smoothie though. I take a protein shake, but I put I'll put a banana in it, and frozen strawberry. Sure, is that a smoothie now? Am I a smoothie guy?
You're a smoothie guy. I would say you're making your own smoothies. A bullet or something like that.
Yeah, I've got I used to have the magic bullet, and then I got for Christmas the ninja blender.
Yeah, I got that too.
Yeah. Are you a smoothie guy?
More protein shake.
Protein
more
shake. Yeah. Protein. But is there fruit in there? Is a protein shake a smoothie or only if there's fruit in it?
I think if it has fruit, that's when you go into smoothie territory. But I mean, I usually am doing like little peanut butter and just like the dust, you know, chocolate.
Okay. All right. No, it's not a smoothie, I think, until you put fruit in it.
Yeah, that's more of a shake. But then what's the difference between a banana shake and a banana smoothie?
I think it's the same thing. I think it's
different. Maybe the sugar content, perhaps?
I don't think so. I don't think that. Do you need two fruits for a smoothie?
I mean, it implies smoothness, right? So maybe it's like the blending of.
What
the
if you make it a frap?
No, that's more ice. It's more ice. Very, very difficult here. Or maybe that involves coffee. Not sure.
Okay, not mocha walnut for sure.
Not mocha walnut though.
All right, so. Sarah's going to come over and check it out, and she's going to stay for dinner on Cape Cod night. Boy, I feel like this was a reach for, you know, themed dinner. It's like night two. We're on to Cape Cod night.
Yeah, they had like the lobster. Everyone's got like the bib on.
Mm-hmm.
The wall had a very nice, like a pier or ocean.
Yeah, it's like a lighthouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feels like we're back on Cape Cod. And Ben is horrible to Sarah at dinner. They're talking about how Sarah, she invented this whole thing. Like, so you're a genius. I guess you must make everybody around you feel inferior.
You know, I actually took notes on this.
Yes.
And the line was, geniuses are impossible to live with. And man, you know, this explains just so much about why the social game is such a struggle for me. And that is the hardest part for sure. And you know, I just, all of a sudden I was like, didn't come up with that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People that Ben was very mean to Sarah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he stormed off too.
Yeah. I have in my notes, Ben is being a D-I-C-K.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we hear about, she's talking about how, I have a rat butler.
Yeah. And this is apparently some sort of reference to popular culture, which I was not aware of.
Okay. It was missed on me. Let's see. I'm looking up rat butler joke. Okay. Wow, this is a real stretch. Okay, so I'm looking up. This is from a list on Bustle, published in 2016. 22 things I noticed when I rewatched Smart House. And so when they talk about the rat's name, I finally understood Sarah the rat's name. Her name is Butler, Rat Butler, like the actor from Gone with the Wind. Rhett Butler. That is a reach and a half, Sarah.
That is the biggest stretch I have ever heard. Even if you told me, even if I was more familiar with the actor from Gone with the Wind, I mean, I don't even think I'd make that connection. So that is just a horrible pun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a rat and it's a butler. Rat Butler.
Butler.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's wild. I was hoping that I don't want to say on the podcast because I don't want people to make fun of me that I don't know this obvious thing, but what is a rat butler?
Yeah. I had no idea until just now. I should have looked it up last night.
Yeah. Ben is fortunate that dad is not more ill-tempered. Because that, you know, from my own childhood, that I don't think that my dad would have been this cool about this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think mine would have been terribly reasonable about it either. I'm thinking maybe, you know, maybe dad empathizes a little bit with Ben because, I mean, the whole thing with mom is, it's definitely a little bit sticky.
Yeah, yeah. But really, if, you know, Dad was really cool about this. Ben's being horrible, and I would even if I was the dad, I would not have taken this as well.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, that was pretty rude dinner behavior.
Yeah. And then the daughter, she has no chill either, because she's like, oh yeah, Ben hates every girl my dad starts to like.
Exposed. I mean, I have to imagine she was picking up vibes though, right?
Yeah.
There's no question about it, but she just puts it right out there in the open.
Mm-hmm. So we go from this where, dad is starting to, he's heard the story now from the sister about like, yeah, the reason why Ben doesn't play basketball anymore is because he has to do everything around the house. So you don't feel like you need to date a mom. It's not like that dad has any like romantic interest. It's like, well, like I need to find a wife to do some of this housework.
Yeah. And you know, I thought that was kind of interesting that she said that because when they moved into the smart house, he doesn't try out for the basketball team. So I think he was just making excuses.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, the thing I noticed is that, I mean, if you compare him in size to the bully, right? Who presumably they're at least the same age, right? Because he's able to do the bully's homework.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have to be in the eighth grade. The bully is of the height that I would expect would go for the basketball team, but Ben seems to be at least a good head shorter than the bully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's probably.
Yeah, Pat. Ben's making some excuses, I do think. So, but Ben sneaks in the middle of the night. He like gets a drill and he like opens the control panel and goes into, first off, that seems very impractical that there's like no access to the control panel of like where Pat is set
the
up.
House,
yeah,
right?
Like there's not that they can't just have like a door on it. Like, could you imagine you live in this house and you can't even get into the control room? And then so he goes in there and then he starts like reprogramming everything and says, like, here, watch Nick at Night, and then you'll learn how to be a mom. From watch these 1950s sitcoms and pay attention to the mom and learn everything.
Yeah, it was like a throwback Nick at Night sort of thing. They called it the mom marathon. I took note of the four shows.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, okay, so there's Mother Knows Best.
Yes.
Which we know is obviously just a parody of Father Knows Best.
Yes.
My Three Moms.
Yes.
Which we obviously know that's a parody of My Three Sons.
Yes.
Now, this is the interest. These are the last two, though, are really
are out there.
We got Make Room for Mama.
Okay. So there used to be a show called Make Room for Daddy.
Okay. That's what that is?
Yeah.
See, that I didn't know. I was thinking Mama, like especially the way it's spelled. It's M-O-M-M-A.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that this is about a mother who is very large. This must be about a very large who's a mom. I mean,
Pat will grow very big later on.
Yeah. And then lastly is Noah's Matriarch.
Noah's Matriarch. That one I do not know.
I don't even want to know.
I think that's just a pun on Noah's Ark. I think that's a rap butler.
Can you imagine what this show would be like if it existed? There's two of every species.
Is that what it is? Or is it about Noah's wife where she's like, Noah, enough with these animals.
Yeah, exactly.
This place is a pigsty. Literally.
Someone needs to get on this and make an actual show called Noah's Matriarch. Or some sort of sitcom based on it. Did Noah have children? I'm not really sure the backstory.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to brush up on my Bible studies to be able to tell you that. Ian, so that we have Pat is completely reprogrammed now at this point.
Yes, completely.
And watches from all of the videos about what it takes to be a mom. I don't know necessarily if the film Smart House or Ben in this film really has done his research of like what an ideal mom traits are and were they captured in 1950s sitcoms.
Almost certainly not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the nutrition kind of goes out the window. They're getting chocolate cupcakes in their lunch now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but also the other thing I thought was odd, she's watching 1950s sitcoms, right? But the new mom seems to be a lot more spunky and a lot more like fun, right?
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, we'll get into this, but I mean, the whole party thing coming up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely not strict. You would expect a 1950s mother to be very, very strict given the time period.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily like what the tropes were in a lot of these shows, whether like the mom was like trying to have fun and parties for the kids, and if the dad was like more strict.
That might have been it. I don't remember that, though. I watched a lot of Leave It to Beaver, I'll tell you that much. And I definitely don't remember, what was that woman's name? Something Billingsley.
Jake Billingsley?
No, not the one from Survivor Thailand. maybe I have the wrong name.
Yeah.
I definitely was not throwing parties all the time. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the next morning, you know, Pat's definitely a little different. Have some breakfast, getting some cupcakes. She's like, come on, the kids need to have some fun. They can't just have nutrition all the time.
Right. And she says, loosen up or lighten up, dad, or something like that.
Yeah.
Definitely. You can see the new attitude.
But I guess they did not get the homework for the bully. And then we cut back to later on the day. Ben has come home with a black eye. And then so to treat this black eye, this contusion, Pat tries to generate like a T-bone steak. And dad is like, what? A steak? Nobody's done that since the 50s.
Yeah, obviously this came up in one of the sitcoms for sure.
I guess so. Yeah. that was wild. Later on, they're eating steak. Is this the same steak, do you think?
I hope not. I hope not. I did catch that, though. I have that in my notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently steak on demand, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ian, if you got a black eye, would you put a T-bone steak on your face?
No, definitely not. I would go with the more traditional ice pack.
What about a bag of frozen peas?
That's okay. That's pretty reasonable.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Contact.
Yeah. Because I kind of feel like, you know, and I don't know if it's salmonella, if it's not chicken. I feel like that the handling of the raw meat, I feel like that's like a mucous membrane, right?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I definitely remember throwing it way back to like Amazing Race 5, there was a task where they had to carry like a slab of meat. And one of the contestants did not have gloves on and said she would get mad cow disease by touching it, which is obviously not correct.
Yeah. So, all right. The mom is not happy about that. Pat is not happy about this. Pat is like, what? How could he do this? I can't believe it. Let me at this kid.
Yeah, definitely getting pretty defensive here, but she has a plan. She has an idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now things get a little dark here, Ian. We see Ben going into his room and he watches like a VHS tape of his original mom that she is like making some cookies and then singing the Mockingbird song.
Yeah, definitely this old video where we see and she's like baking cookies with Ben and then the little sister is a baby. And, you know, you kind of also see from this video, dad has a type because her and Sarah, they look very similar.
Oh, interesting.
They're very, very much the same type.
Yeah. Well, later on in the film that I thought like when Pat becomes like a takes physical form, like right. when Pat started coming together, I was like, oh, like is Pat going to appear as the original mom to the kids? I was like, that's dark. That
too dark.
That might have been too dark.
Exactly like Katie Sagal did on Married with Children.
Yes, another housewife
at the time, right?
TV housewife. Yeah. Did you ever watch Married with Children?
One of my favorite shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, big fan. I mean, the episode where they move into the grocery store, it's a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for my money, it doesn't get any better than that. It's one of those things. I like randomly will see it on TV. I don't really watch a whole lot of TV nowadays, but when I was watching a lot of TVs, it would be syndicated. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, every single time I would like happen to catch it, it would be the episode where they move into the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. I do not recall a lot of Married with Children arcs.
Yeah, not a lot of two-part episodes, but there are some. I can think of a few. I mean, the grocery store one is one. There's another one where they go on a road trip and then like end up stranded near like a minor prospector shop, like an old general store, or one where they go on a cruise for weight loss. Mm-hmm. And the ship wrecks and they get stranded on a life raft with Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, yeah. Were you a Steve guy or were you a Jefferson guy?
Jefferson, for sure.
Oh. I thought
Jefferson was a really funny character. Really funny.
Let's see. Okay. Dad is going to call up Sarah and that he's doing like video calling with her in like 1999. Look at this.
Yeah. I mean, smart house, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so he is like asking her about like, she's like bouncing her checkbook and she's just like, hey, are you trying to ask me out? Like she's really picking up, maybe I guess after the daughter completely revealed his crush.
Yeah, totally just, you know, exposed him out there. So, I mean, at this point, it's obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Dad and Sarah are going to go on a date and they're going to finally, like, it's going to be Dad's night out. Pat will watch the kids.
Yeah. And this is where we kind of see, Pat's big plan come together and what she has in store for Ryan, the school bully.
Yeah. Okay. So Pat has accessed email list. She realizes, that Ryan needs a little more fun in his life. Yes, fun. Okay, what's fun? Yes. So she does like a search and she finds like fun is like what people are doing on MTV. They're partying and dancing. That's what we need to do at the smart house.
Partying, young people dancing. I noticed here, this was MPC, the Music Party Channel.
Yeah.
Apparently. Now, this must be back when they actually showed music videos.
Mm-hmm. On MPC. Sure.
On MPC. I mean, nowadays, what do you think MPC? I'm going to go ahead and guess that it's one episode of The Challenge per week.
Mm-hmm.
And then ridiculousness 99% of the other time.
I think there's probably a lot of like prank shows from people that are on the Jersey Shore that now are pranksters.
Yeah, exactly. Some sort of maybe there was like a period where they had like an Ashton Kutcher based prank show, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Ian, I was trying to keep up with The Challenge this season, and then the most frustrating thing about The Challenge I found was that every commercial break it was the exact same commercials every single time through.
You know, I used to watch The Challenge when I was a lot younger, and I'm sure that it's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And if it weren't for Hall Brawl, I would just bulk 60 pounds. And I love to play games for money. Mm-hmm. But I do remember that it was always the same exact ads over and over.
Yeah, is it like Teen Mom? Then it goes right into Vinnie and Paulie are pranksters, and then it goes into like it's like the same like four commercials like over and over and over again.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So everybody gets an email. Party at the smart house. Meanwhile, Dad is trying to say, hey, what tie should I wear?
Yeah, you see, the kids went for like a polka dot one. I like the floral pattern ties, though.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone saw, from this past season, I love a good floral tie.
Yeah. Ian, I think Dad's overdoing it. I think they go with a suit and tie to go take out Sarah. I mean, what is she, a client?
Yeah, I mean, is this a third date as well?
I thought it was a first date.
I mean, you don't count the Cape Cod night as a date?
I mean, that wasn't a date. I mean, that was a service call.
It's kind of in the gray area. So it's a second date. I mean, that's a little fast, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right. A little too formal off that.
I think that, I mean, look, I don't think these bank robbers were wearing suits to go on. Maybe it's like, hey, I'm not that kind of guy.
maybe he's, yeah, that's exactly it. I think trying to show her he's not going to try to,
a business dad. Yeah.
Go rob the bank after it. He's Andrew Savage.
All right. So, the kids are playing miniature golf, also in the house, which I don't really understand how this was working. They do have these things where you can like hit a golf ball and then, drive it now, but it did not seem like it was working that same way.
I mean, it seemed to me just from what I saw, you would hit the ball and then maybe it would make contact with the wall, and however it, whatever angle it hits it at in the speed, it calculates it, and then you see it on the screen.
Yeah, but that wasn't what was happening.
No, not at all. It looked like they had like a club and just were swinging it, and they just kind of guessed, I suppose.
Yeah, what looked like it was happening was like if there was like a TV that like was showing you a miniature golf course and you were just hitting golf balls at it.
Yes.
Okay. So everybody's showing up for the party. Everybody's coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, and, actually, no. I'm sorry. The first, his two friends come in, and they are there for the party, and that there is a great scene here, Ian.
Yeah.
Iconic scene.
We're gonna clip or no?
I can play a clip. Here is a clip from the Ben and his two friends who go full boy band here.
Oh right.
Hey Pat. How about activating some kick butt video screens?
Sure. Kick butt video screens.
Is that NSYNC or Backstreet Boys or something?
I'm not sure what they had the rights to.
It's one of the two.
Yeah. Or was it some facsimile?
Maybe one of, I have no idea, honestly. Mm-hmm. Probably never looked into it. I do also remember though, right around this same time, that Disney would do these like concert spectacles where it's like a 2-hour special of some whatever, whatever the bubblegum pop, group of the day was, would put on a concert in full.
Mm-hmm.
And it would air it on the Disney Channel. So it probably was NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. I just don't recognize
something they had the rights to. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So, but the kids, the three guys do like a whole routine.
Yeah. It's pretty random. I mean, I don't know why.
Yeah.
What this
not
was.
Since the Wax Street Boys.
Don't know that. Yeah, that was pretty weird. I mean, I guess the Disney Channel movie has to have some sort of dancing aspects to it. Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I have no clue.
I mean, the three guys do not perform at the party.
No, they just do it when it's just them there.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah. Okay. So meanwhile, we see that the sister is like a bouncer at the party now.
Yeah, so two girls try to get in. Apparently they are not on the list and remark that it's harder to get into so-and-so's bat mitzvah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, sister. Let me tell you something. All the eighth grade girls are on the list. You know, that two eighth grade girls show up, zero guys. They're in.
Yeah, I thought this was a little bit odd. I mean, you're not going to turn away any women that try to enter the club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want this to be a good party?
Don't want it to be the sausage fest.
Yeah. Then Ben is like taking these women around the party, and you want some food? And they're looking for something sweet. And what a line he gives when he says, "Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Sweeter than me?"
Or something like that. Yeah. Very smooth. Very smooth. The newfound confidence has come to Ben with this house.
Yeah, where's the old Ben?
Not here.
Not here. Not here. Okay. He's got smart house confidence. Okay. Now the bully shows up. And the bully, he gets right in.
Yeah, he's on the list, which the sister was like, "I don't think Ben would want you here anyway." And mm-hmm. then Pat is like, no, he's on the list. I have a crush on him. That was a little odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, come on in.
Right in. Mm-hmm. Right in.
Okay.
Gets into the party.
All right. Meanwhile, we're seeing the party is like really picking up, but Pat finally wants to, you know, teach Ryan the bully a lesson.
Yeah, he gets his comeuppance here via Pat.
Yeah. So talk me through this. What does Pat do to the bully?
She like puts a spotlight on him and starts talking about him. And then, you know, starts to crack a few jokes at his expense.
Mm-hmm.
And then shocks him. It looks like a lightning bolt kind of like comes out of the ceiling or something.
Yeah. And then like chases him around with like a holographic skull.
Yeah, very, very bizarre.
And then has like some sort of like Doc Ock like tentacles also that like push him out the door.
Yeah, the same robot arm that gets the newspaper, right?
Yeah. So do you think that Ryan's parents will sue?
I mean, I didn't see any physical harm, perhaps emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very strange.
Yeah.
I don't think you could get away with this nowadays.
No, I don't think so. You mean in the movie or like if you had a smart house?
If you had a smart house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think that maybe Ben is going to get beat up even worse at school on Monday?
No, because now Ryan knows.
We just never go to his house, though.
I mean, the smart house has to have other plans. I mean, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mess with Ben after that one.
Yeah. All right. Meanwhile, how about this? Dad took a wild night for Sarah. It sounds like that this is the second location that they've gone to, right? They went for like drinks one place, like had dinner this place. And now they're off to a third location for dessert.
Again, I mean, for a first like date out.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to be going really well, but I mean, the suit, the tie, it just seems like too much. But, you know, maybe the 90s were a different time.
Yeah. Geez, Dad. I mean, three locations. She says, okay, well, you know, I just want something sweet. I want chocolate. Now we know where Ben gets it from because he's like, oh, okay. Does he take a Hershey's Kiss out of his pocket and give it to her?
I didn't catch that at all.
Yeah. He's like, your wish is my command. He gives her a Hershey's Kiss. Dad, I don't want chocolate that you had in your pocket.
I think that I didn't catch it, but it's a little bit weird. I don't like the kiss from the from that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit close to
yeah. Dad, then he puts the smooch on Sarah.
Yeah,
he moves in for the kill.
Apparently, a pretty good date.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's not a bank robber. I mean, what can
not a bank
expect?
Robber, but okay. Now, the rager is going on, but it's 10:23 and Dad's going to be home at 10:30. I don't know how Dad hit three locations and is going to be home by 10:30, but it's happening.
Must have been an early dinner. I mean, he's probably getting like get the early bird special perhaps.
Maybe. Okay. So they get all the kids out and Pat says, okay, kids, quick. Get all the debris on the floor.
Everything on the floor. So they just dump the, you know, the snacks, the candy, everything just right on there. And the house's vacuum floor system does its job.
Yeah. Except for one thing. They forgot one thing. Dad comes home and realizes that, is this a girl's jacket that he finds?
It seemed to me, based on the context clues, I think it was like her silk jacket or scarf or something.
Because
they said, oh, how is tonight at home? And Ben's sitting there, he goes, smooth as, and then he sees the scarf, jacket or whatever, and goes, silk. And then the dad sees it and is like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. How did they get busted from like, oh yeah, there's a girl's jacket here. You must have had a party.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that either. I mean, they must have been pretty forthcoming with the details.
Yeah.
I suppose. I mean, because you would think that a jacket being on a plant does not necessarily indicate a huge party.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, this girl came over.
I mean, but I also think about it. If you're 14 years old, which is worse if you're trying to explain it to your parents?
That you had a huge party or one girl came over?
I'm not sure. I think that they imply different things. And I would not want to have to explain that one.
Yeah. I think I had, you know, 70 kids over is worse.
That seems about right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. But it's the next morning. Yeah. There's really not a lot of ramifications from this big party. Dad's not that mad.
He seems more mad at Pat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pat, how could you do this? How could you? I trusted you. It's like, well, you said you wanted them to have fun. Not like this, Pat. Not so like this.
Now she agrees to get strict.
Okay. All right. So it's the next morning. And now all of a sudden, Ben has made a stylistic fashion choice that he's all going to like have like his pants very low. And Pat says, hey, pull up your shorts. And he says, no. And so she like zaps him when he goes to touch the doorknob. Yeah.
You know, I mean, this was obviously the time when sagging was still a thing for, you know, it took a long time for that fad to die. I remember, I mean, that probably started with what, like, you know, Criss Cross in 1993. And then it carried through until about like 06 or 07. Maybe.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So, but not in Pat's house.
Yeah. No sagging allowed.
Mm-hmm. So finally, okay. Ben pulls up his pants. He goes out the door. Dad is on the phone. And now, really, Pat is going even more haywire. Will not let him call Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, she's getting pretty protective of Dad there, which is a little odd.
Why? Does she want to be married to Dad?
I mean, she definitely wanted to be the mom. Mm-hmm. That's clear. I don't know. Did Pat, perhaps? Have a thing for him? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pat is really going haywire. The daughter, she's watching cartoons, and then she changes the cartoons to like some show about an amoeba.
Yeah, it's like a biology Discovery Channel sort of show. I don't know what cartoon that was. I tried to ID it, and I couldn't recognize it. But yeah, very strange.
Mm. And then notices that the daughter has like a 98.7 temperature and then wants to put the daughter to bed.
Yeah, and possibly keep her home from school, to which she objects because apparently they have a big field trip to the llama farm.
Yes, okay. That's a very exciting trip. All the kids want to go and hear the the llamas. The llamas.
Yes. Perhaps you know Tony Vlachos making an appearance perhaps.
Yeah. Llama farm sounds terrible.
Awful field trip. I mean, what's the educational value there?
Llamas spit.
Disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would pretend I was sick so I wouldn't have to go to the llama farm.
Yeah, that's not one that I would go to.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not.
Okay, so they have to put the daughter to bed. And then, meanwhile, we're also going to get some chicken soup delivered.
Yeah, and orange juice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has unlimited oranges for Pat.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps you got the smoothie thing fixed. Mm-hmm. Those oranges had to be put to use somehow.
And really, we're at a point where Pat is just doing whatever she wants, that Ben wants to read in bed. She's turning the light off. He's going back and forth.
Yeah, definitely wanted to finish up his comic book or whatever it was. She's definitely getting pretty overbearing at this point.
Yeah, okay, so everybody's had it. They bring Sarah in. Sarah's going to shut the whole system down. That's it. No more Pat.
And, you know, it seems to work for at least a little while, a little system override.
Yeah. So that works for a little bit. But, hey, boy, you know, this Nick and Sarah, they cannot, you know, keep their hand. Actually, how many winners at war names do we have in this show? We've got Ben, Nick, Sarah.
What was the daughter's name?
Angie.
Unfortunately, no on that one, right?
Yeah, and then we got Pat. That's it. Those are basically the principals.
Yeah, those are the main ones. There was no Ryan. That was the first boot on your season, right?
No, yeah. We unfortunately, no. Okay, so Dad and Sarah, like, they're making dinner again, and they're just going to start making out while they're cooking the dinner.
Definitely pretty risque for a Disney film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Sarah's like, yeah, who needs Pat anyhow? Look at us. We're making steaks for the whole family. I was horrified that they gave this like 8-year-old girl here's a T-bone steak for you, little girl.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely...
They didn't even cut it for her.
A big serving size, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a bit much, but I will say the steaks did look really...
They look good, but that's a little kid. She's going to choke.
I don't know. She's probably like 10. I mean,
you think she's 10?
Probably. I mean, 8 to 10. The brother's in 8th grade. She seemed to be able to pick up on like social cues that an 8-year-old maybe otherwise wouldn't. Like, would you know that the dad had a crush? Like, what 8-year-old is going to pick up on that?
I guess so.
10 years old, if I had to guess.
I don't think she was in 6th grade, that girl.
Maybe 5th. I mean, I wouldn't. I think basically she was rollerblading. I mean, I think the motor skills were far enough along that she could cut the steak.
Yeah. I don't know. My kids are not getting close to cutting up a steak.
At 10.
So, all right. They got sneaking in a kiss. Ben is not happy. Pat is going to turn herself back online after Sarah says, who needs Pat anyhow?
Yeah, definitely. The walls have ears here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Microphones hanging on the ceiling, perhaps.
Yeah. And so, meanwhile, Pat has come online. Ben is being super rude. Dad takes him to his room. They try to blame, there's some awkward conversations that happen in this film where Dad is I know that women have a lot of hormones at this age, but I didn't know that young men have hormones at this age, too. Is this hormonal?
Yeah, and then some remark that she had a bunch of brothers when she was growing up, like that.
Yeah, I don't know. They try to blame. Is this puberty? Is that the problem for Ben?
I don't think that's exactly what it is. This doesn't seem like standard puberty.
I mean, is the smart house a metaphor for puberty? Like things are different, things are changing. It's confusing.
You know, Rob, you might be onto something here. I had never considered that.
The coming of age story.
It is. It is. As many Disney Channel original movies are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sort of newfound life lesson and maturity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Pat is alive. And is Pat taking a human form at this point?
Yeah, the hologram.
Hologram. Yeah. And I really did think it was going to be, she's going to turn into the original mother from the video. Because she watched Ben watching the video and he's crying. A
little too dark for the
Disney.
That would
be too dark.
Channel.
Yeah.
Too dark.
Instead, here is Katie Sagal. And she's sort of like dressed with like a 1950s like housewife, like an apron.
Yeah. She's got like the kind of like the old sitcom look because that's what she knows.
Mm-hmm. Because she watched all the sitcoms. Okay. So she will not let herself be preempted. Okay. She is going to now be the mom that this family needs.
Right. And, she's cloning herself and everything. I mean, it's just terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Pat is able to kick Sarah out of the house also.
Yeah. With that same robot arm that gets the paper and got the bully out.
Yeah.
And then the door just immediately bolts up too.
Yeah.
Very, very.
Yeah, it's a little bit of like a Frankenstein story where Sarah, has created this monster and now it has turned against her.
Right. And there's no way to shut it down. She says that, she didn't think that it would mutiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knew, Jonathan Penner, no one thought he would mutiny either. And, here we are.
I'm just doing what's best for this family. You call me Pat. Okay. So Sarah gets kicked out of the house. And now this is, borderline terrifying that they're being chased around the house by Pat. She's not listening. Pat is saying hey, look, the world out there is unpredictable and dangerous. And is cutting to video of Nazi Germany and atomic bombs exploding.
Yeah, really, really odd here. Not sure what that was.
Yeah, LeVar Burton went very dark here with the imagery.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I can't control what's happening in the outside world. Look at this. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like the Nazi army, like, marching.
I didn't quite notice that, but man, that is pretty dark.
Yeah.
That's pretty dark for Disney.
Stay with Pat in the house and she'll protect you, and she could be in multiple places at once. So the family regroups. This is like a very dark moment, but they're like, okay, we're going to come up with a plan. I don't know how they communicated it to each other that they were going to do this plan.
Right. I don't either, because you'd think that the house would hear them. I also noticed that they were sleeping in the living room.
Yeah, they all slept in one room together, like on a mat on the floor.
Kind of odd. I mean, I don't think that sleeping in different rooms is going to really make that big of a difference. But I mean, maybe it's just good to have proximity.
Yeah. So also at the same time, Sarah is working from outside the house. Now, does she use Butler the Mouse to get a plan to Ben?
Yeah, some sort of message, right? Like, it goes through that aforementioned this mouse hole that exists in this house for some reason. Mm-hmm. And it gets through. I mean, definitely pretty solid. You would think Pat would notice, but maybe she was just busy with other things.
She had a lot going on. Yeah. So... yeah, they end up where we see that Ben is in the bathtub with the dog, trying to contact Sarah. Tell her about what's going on.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the night before. That was the night before.
Okay.
Okay. And they wake up and they say that Ben has appendicitis.
Right, that he's sick. And, yeah. You know, Pat is tending to him, and he kind of, you know, gives the hint to Dad, like, it hurts. Isn't the appendix like, why would it be on your back or whatever? Mm-hmm. And then he's like, no, it's definitely appendicitis. Sort of a distraction ploy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Pat falls for it, like hook, line, and sinker. And is distracted to the point where it does not see Sarah breaking in.
Correct. She jumps in through the newspaper hatch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she gets in there, and then Pat tries to pull like a real like emotional move on Ben and sings the song, the Mockingbird song that original mom sang to him.
Right. And definitely, you know, I think this is kind of where, I mean, it sort of is working, but then this is the revelation that she's not real.
Yes. She's like, I don't know why. I feel like that she would have known this already, but like, she's like, see, like, Dad tried to protect us. You can't. You're just a hologram. You're not real. You're not a real mom.
Puts his hand right through her. And then this is where, I mean, this is apparently all it took.
He's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Make a good point.
That's it. Shuts down, basically.
Yeah. And this is like, there's like, on the runtime, there's like 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the movie at this point. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of unresolved questions, too. I mean, it was almost like they were just like, LeVar, wrap it up, please. Like, get this going here. Very, very much the Deus Ex Machina, if you will.
Yeah, because they end up then having Sarah just like, she makes some tweaks. And then even after all this, everybody moves in and they stay in the smart house.
After one date.
Yeah.
They're living together. And I mean, the tweaks are apparently solid, but notice that they decided to go ahead and keep the Katie Seagal on the monitor, right? They didn't go back. It's like, looked like it was like a cartoon of like a 1950s woman in the early on those screens. And they decided to just keep the hologram on screen, which I don't know. I think
I kind of feel like after that, you're a little bit tainted on that.
I wouldn't want that one there.
Also, like, Sarah never has a blow up with Ben when Sarah is like, she spent her whole life working on building the smart house, so that she, every waking hour of her entire life came to this point with a culmination of the smart house. It's perfect. Okay. Oh my God. It's gone haywire. What happened? Nobody, they never have a confrontation of like, what the, this should have never happened. I don't understand how the house is capable of doing that. We have fail safes all over the place. This is impossible. that she's like, nobody touched anything, right? Nobody, like, nobody went in the control room or did anything. And there wasn't like, yeah, okay, mea culpa, Sarah, I actually reprogrammed the whole thing and took the safety protocols off. Like, what? Why would you do that? Like, well, I didn't want you to date my dad. And then you did it to block your dad from dating me?
Yeah, things seem to just go pretty much happily ever after, just kind of out of nowhere.
They never talk about this.
We have to wonder if there's maybe like a Smart House sequel where this sort of comes up. I mean, I think that would just be a lot of baggage there.
Okay. Ian, I feel like that, aren't there normally sequels with these Disney Channel original films?
Not that I know of. Let me go ahead. Let's do a quick.
I guess that maybe did High School Musical change the game?
That might have been it, because there was at least what, three or four of those, mm-hmm. right? At least three, right?
Because now I feel like that they make one of these Disney Channel movies, and I feel like there's two, three, four.
Well, that's kind of just the
movie game.
The modern movie game is you're just trying to turn something into like a thing where you can get a franchise out of it and mm-hmm. make three or four movies, right? Mm-hmm. So I have here the list of Disney Channel original movies.
Yeah.
It does seem like there are quite a few sequels on here. Some of them are original sequels. The Parent Trap 2, Not Quite Human 2, even a Parent Trap 3. I had no idea that these existed.
Yeah. If we made Smart House 2, what would you call it? Smarter House?
Yeah, and then the third one would be Smartest House.
Smartest House. Okay, what happens in Smarter House?
So that whole little arc that you mentioned has to come up, right?
They talk about like, hey, what happened?
What happened here? The smart office comes into play. Maybe the dad has to go work at the smart office mm-hmm. and they get stuck there. Something goes haywire. Perhaps it takes the form of like a boss character.
Yeah.
Something
I mean,
like
could it be some sort of like I saw a Super Bowl commercial like this yesterday where people, a woman had a Amazon Alexa in the form of Michael B. Jordan. And is it possible that in the next iteration of the Smarter House, there's like a, you know, instead of a rat butler, maybe there's like a hot butler. Maybe dad gets jealous.
Maybe that's what happens. I would think also the whole like the Gwen Ben storyline just kind of just mm-hmm. ends. Nothing further. Right. We just have no idea what happens to them. It's mm-hmm. not referenced at the end of the movie. Like, there's the scene where he's playing basketball and Pat like tells him how to angle his foot to do better.
Help his shot.
But there's no, like, you would think maybe this would be a good place where like Gwen is there and like waves or something, but mm-hmm. he doesn't know what happened to her.
Yeah. What if the house gets hacked in Smarter House 2?
Well, maybe that's the line for Smartest House. Like, that's okay. Where it's like Home Alone, right? Like, it starts off pretty plausible.
Oh, the bank robbers come back. The bank robbers come back and they hijack. Yeah, they had an exploit.
Yes, and then he's lost in New York. And then the third one, it's Korean terrorist organization, right? I mean, it just goes completely off the deep end. I think that's Smartest House.
Is that really Home Alone 3?
I'm pretty sure that's what happens.
There's my kids were watching it this year, but I didn't pay close attention to it.
I'd have to fact check that, but I mm-hmm. believe that it is Home Alone 3. Let's take
a
look.
Korean terrorist organization?
It is. So I typed it in at first. I had Roman numerals. It's just the number 3, apparently. And it's the plot. First line here. Peter, whatever, Alice, Burton, and Earl are 4 internationally wanted spies working for a North Korean terrorist organization.
Wow.
So this is, my memory did serve correctly on that one.
Yeah. Wow. 1997's Home Alone 3.
Yeah.
Real. Okay.
Definitely.
Well, that's a great way to tie it all back, that I feel like the first time we ever talked about a movie was Home Alone 1.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I didn't mm-hmm. even think of that.
Yeah. Remember the time you came to my house, watched Die Hard?
I do. I do remember. That was the last movie cast we did, which that must have been.
I think we also did A Christmas Story in between.
We did, because Christmas Story would have been late 2013, mm-hmm. and I believe that the 2014 going into 2015, right around there, mm-hmm. movie cast was Die Hard. That seems pretty correct, because that was around the that was when I was pretty involved, you know, mm-hmm. and I kind of just tapered out.
Well, you haven't lost a step. This was so so nice to get to reconnect with you today.
Absolutely, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Ian, you're one of the few Big Brother players that I talks to me, and is a friend. So I appreciate you so much.
Absolutely. Well, hey, you know, Rob, thanks for having me. Thanks for putting out some good content.
Yeah, we're trying, and hopefully maybe Smart House will have like a little bit of a resurgence.
Maybe it might be the new pop. I have a feeling that it's going to be high up on the list of downloads or views or whatever because of this.
Yes. Disney Plus doesn't have a top 10 like Netflix, but maybe if it did.
Yeah. Almost for sure.
Yeah.
Almost for sure.
What should be the reboot of Smart House? Would it be a TV show?
You know, I actually think that's a good idea. A 65 episode series.
Yes.
Starring the Smart House characters, mm-hmm. and how now it has to, I mean, now Smart House would be totally different, right? Mm-hmm. Like Smart House now would have to be like, you know, I mean, everyone's got Smart House now. For
yeah.
This part.
Everyone's got a Smart House. You're not really supposed to leave. I mean, basically like, I think it would be hard to make this exciting enough to be a TV series.
Yeah. I have to say so. Mm-hmm. I think maybe it's like a futuristic house of some sort. Have maybe like kind of like more Jetsons like, right? Where like kind of like robots running around, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe it's like some sort of like a Jetsons sitcom.
Something like that. I mean, but then again, I feel like Disney already kind of went down this path with what was that one called? Xenon Girl of the 21st Century, I believe.
Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. Okay. Right. I feel like that's what it was trying to show me at the end of this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, that is a Disney Channel original movie. Yeah, Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. Is
okay, and what's that one about?
It's about... never really watched it fully through.
Mm-hmm.
It was apparently a pilot for a television series. The year is 2049, so we're not far off.
Not too far off.
And Xenon is a 13-year-old girl who lives with her family on Earth on an Earth-orbiting space station.
Mm.
So, I mean, not a lot of directions you can go there. Probably.
Yeah, so right after this, so it goes right into Xenon Girl of the 21st Century.
Yeah, I mean, just a lot.
Coming of age.
Also, Phil of the Future, a much later. That was right around the time where I was no longer watching the Disney mm-hmm. Channel, but I remember my younger brother was watching it. So I remember seeing the commercials, and you know, it's coming up on there to have Phil of the Future.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of Xenon spinoffs. I got Xenon the Zequel. And then Xenon Z3. It's a trilogy.
I see that. Yes. I see, again, a lot of sequels on these Disney Channel.
Yeah, so maybe Xenon changed the game and not a High School Musical.
I had no idea. Well, apparently there's a lot here. I see a Cheater Girls 2, High School Musical 2, Camp Rock 2, mm-hmm. Miracle in Lane 2. Wait, that's not a sequel. But definitely a lot.
Okay.
There.
So. Ian, besides the Disney Channel library, what else is are you up to? What else should people check you out doing?
Oh,
can people just go find you and play backgammon? Does that ever happen?
Yeah, it happened like once. I play online a little bit, on a few different sites. There's a lot of sites out there, but I play online. I do Twitch, once every 2 months. You know, not exactly making a living off it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Okay. And people, do you ever give out your handle or you would never do that?
No, it's my handle's out there. Depends on the site. Mm-hmm. The most common one is FZX14 on two of the main sites. That's the one I use the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then On Backgammon Galaxy, I'm on there as Don't Tase Me Bro 14. So it's the reason is the site that one's on, it's like a space, like science fiction sort of theming. So
like Xenon. Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Got like the tase thing, you know, like a phaser perhaps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I figured it was a cute name.
Yeah. All right. Well, Ian, this is so fun to get to connect with you. Anytime you want to podcast, talk about anything that you let me know. I'm here.
All right. Well, sounds very good, Rob. Yes. Thanks for having me.
I mean, it's so nice to get to catch up with you that I feel like that, you know, Rob is a podcast is like this is like the high school where you, I feel like that you graduated, you came back. I'm the teacher. I'm still here. You know, it's like people come and they spend time with me. And then they go off and they do other things in the world and they come back to the high school like, oh, you're still here. And that's what this is.
The quick visit. It was very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Great to be here. So, yeah, I'll still be here, you know, and I'll still be here. Maybe one day your kids will go to this school.
Perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps. And thank you so much. Any place else people should follow you?
I mean, you know, Twitter is good. Instagram's always good. On Instagram, I'm on there as Ian P. Perry 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty simple name there.
Yeah.
And on Twitter, I'm at Tulane Terry.
The classic. So,
the classic, right?
Yeah.
Not right. Really active on it on either. I'm pretty private.
Yeah.
Relative to most, right? But mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just my preference.
Yeah. Ian, thank you so much. This was so great to catch up. Are you aware of what I'm doing with the Survivor all-time season rankings?
I had heard because there was some controversy lately. I did see a little bit of that.
Yes, over that we have gotten all 40 of our seasons ranked by the listeners of Rob's podcast. They went through it. We are going to be talking about the 35th best season of Survivor this Wednesday night. That is Survivor Worlds Apart.
Wow. You know, that's funny because that is about one of the last seasons I watched. Not because it was low in quality by any means. You know, I ended up getting kind of busy with other things. The last one I watched was
Healers versus Heroes versus Hustlers.
Yeah. That one, the theme seemed a little bit odd to me. I didn't like the fire thing at the end. I thought that. Because you can't plan around that. I don't really like...
So, did you not watch Winners at War?
I saw the finale because at that point I knew I was going...
Yes.
So I was like, maybe a good idea to see how this plays out.
Yes. Yeah. See, I was surprised that I said, okay, well, because I felt like that Tony had a good plan going back in. He was such a big threat. Of like he did a lot of stuff to like really like try to like get people off the scent in the early part of the game.
Yeah, I mean he was laying low. Mm-hmm. I mean as you should, and it worked out.
Yeah. Well, Ian, thank you so much for talking about Smart House with us. Always appreciate you coming by, and we got a ton of great stuff going on at robhasawebsite.com. You can subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, or check out everything we've got going on in our Patreon podcast feed at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. And it's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.